Thank you all for joining us on tonight's phonecast for parents of prospective students who have been admitted to Knox College or are considering Knox College for the fall. I'm Paul Stinas. I'm the Dean of Admission at Knox, and I'm the person actually who signs the letter offering your child admission to Knox. I'm also a Knox graduate. We look forward to hearing from parents across the country tonight. If you'd like to ask a question at any point, simply press *3 on your keypad at any time. It's like raising your hand. It won't interrupt us, but it will let us know that you have a question. This phonecast is just one event in our series of admitted student experiences. Throughout the winter and spring, the Office of Admission will host a number of live, on-campus, and virtual events with faculty, staff, and current students. If you'd like to receive a text message with a link to these experiences, you can press *8 on your phone right now. Or you can head directly to the list of experiences on our website at knox.edu/admitted students. So that's press *3 for questions and *8 to receive a link to a full list of ways to experience Knox throughout the winter and spring. As you're formulating your questions and submitting them, I'd like to ask Knox College President Andy McGadney to say a few words of welcome. Andy?
Well, thank you, Paul. This is Andy McGadney. I'm delighted to join you all today, and I just wanted to welcome each and every one of you to the Knox Community Phonecast. This evening, you have an excellent opportunity to hear from various members of our Knox community. We've got one of our student leaders on the call, a current parent on the call, one of our career success advisors, and several members of my senior team. We are here to answer your questions and help you learn more about Knox College. In these opening moments, I just thought it might be helpful if I share with you one of the reasons, or a couple of reasons, why I chose or I accepted the offer to accept the role as the 20th president of Knox College. As some of you may know, I just started this role on July 1st, 2021. I chose Knox for three reasons. I thought this might be helpful for you to hear. It's the people, the size, and the liberal arts. First of all, when you think about the people, I was struck through the interview process when I was able to engage with Knox faculty, students, staff, and members of our Board of Trustees. One of the things I saw right away was that many of our Knox faculty members live right here in Galesburg. They're committed to this place and the institution and our students. They commented quite often about their connections with individual students, whether they were in the classroom or having a cup of coffee at their homes. That's the type of community that I saw, the commitment to the place. I also saw that in the staff, many of whom have worked here for 20, 30, 40 plus years. They care deeply about this place. When I look at the size of this institution, one of the things I loved about it was the size was one of the things that helped people to see for each other in their own spaces. They were able to call one another by name, whether it was the person in the public safety office, whether it was a facilities grounds member, was it a faculty member, a staff member. Everyone knew one another. A small community is something pretty special. Now, I'm also a former student who graduated from a liberal arts institution. I'm a believer in the power of a liberal arts education, and you can get that right here at Knox College, one of the best liberal arts educations that, and from my perspective, you could find. You've got incredible faculty, wonderful, engaging students. Quite frankly, some of the toughest questions that I had during my interview were from students, which tells me they care about this place. As a liberal arts graduate, if you choose Knox College for your educational career, you will have the ability to make incredible impact in whatever field of human endeavor you choose. You'll have great instruction in the classroom and an even a better experience outside the classroom. It is my hope that you take the moment to visit us here in Galesburg, Illinois, to see what a Knox College experience can do for you. I encourage you to ask questions. I'll turn this back to Paul right now, but thank you for joining us this evening. I look forward to meeting you all.
Thank you so much, Andy. I do see that we already have a number of questions lined up. But before we begin, I'd like to ask my colleagues on the call to introduce themselves. Tell us who you are and what your role is at Knox. We'll start with you, Mike.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael Schneider. I am Provost and Dean of the College, which means I'm responsible for the academic program, the educational, at least the in-classroom educational experience at Knox. I've been in this role for nearly 3 years, but I've also been a Knox faculty member for 29 years with a specialty in East Asian history, incidentally. And I am very excited to answer your questions tonight. Thanks for taking our call.
Markita?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Markita Barker. I am the Vice President of Student Development. I've been at Knox for about 30 days and very excited about the community here. I oversee things at the college like counseling, health services, career services, and other support programs that help students succeed outside of the classroom. So if your student chooses to come to Knox, they will be well supported by a team of caring professionals in student development.
Kelsey?
Hi, everyone. My name is Kelsey Cunningham. I am the Career Success Advisor in the Bastion Family Center for Career Success here at Knox College. A few of the things that I do, I wear a lot of hats, but basically I meet with students and help guide them along their career path using tools in our office that are available to all students, help them with their application documents, and just guide them and listen to what they have to say and try and help them as best as possible with their journey at Knox and then after as well.
Sophia?
Hello, I'm Sophia. I use she, her pronouns. I am a senior this year at Knox, which is really crazy to say. I'm a public policy major with minors in political science and environmental studies, and I'm involved on the Knox College Honor Board, and I'm a tour guide, and I'm also a member of a sorority on campus, and I'm happy to be here tonight.
And Allison.
Hello, everyone. My name is Allison Hu. I'm a proud Knox parent to a junior. My son is Will Hu, and he's just declared a psychology major and computer science minor. And he's very happy at Knox, and I am as well.
Well, those are some of the panelists that you'll have a chance to talk with tonight. We are, in fact, eager to hear from all of you. Again, press star 3 at any point during the evening if you'd like to ask a question. And our first question tonight, it's a very specific question, comes from, looks like Joshi, who has a question about how engaged parents are with the administration.
Yeah, I think you got the question right. Do you want me to elaborate the question?
Yes, please.
Yeah. My question was like coming from a high school where the parents are involved with the students with respect to administration, interacting with the students. Going to college, how would administration interact with the students? And if parents would be involved in those interactions? And if so, how much?
Mike, you want to start with that question?
Yeah, I think the important transition that every student is making is, we're all about having students stand on their own 2 feet, right, to learn to be successful. But we are also, and I'm a Knox parent as well, we're also intensely interested in the progress they're making through the education. And we have any number of individuals who support students throughout the 4 years, Kelsey among and others among them, Associate Dean of the College, who are happy to help parents understand the nature of their progress, to answer a question. Maybe you want to ask a question or you want to ask about your student, but you don't really want to act like you're spying. It's okay. You can call us and we can work with you. In other cases, we will encourage the student to talk to provide ways to explain what their experience is. So we're certainly, many of us, again, are Knox parents ourselves in administrative roles, and we're happy to be supportive of students and parents working together for a successful Knox experience.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from Lisa in Lincolnwood, Illinois. Lisa, I'll go ahead and take you live, and you can ask your question.
Yes, I was curious. My daughter, Lily, is interested in secondary education, and I know there's a strong liberal arts foundation at Knox. If in order to receive an education degree, is it more like a 4+1, or are you able to receive a secondary education degree within those 4 years?
Well, Mike, I think I'll probably turn to you on
Paul.
That one.
Yes. So it is absolutely possible for a student to finish a degree in any field in 4 years. I will say, though, that the common pathway for education majors is it's not a 4+1, it's a 4+10 weeks. That is to say, many students, in order to feel that they're sufficiently prepared for their student teaching experience, decide to wait and do their student teaching experience in the fall after their fourth year. Not at all uncommon. It's by no means mandatory, but I think it's an opportunity for students to choose what is the right combination of academic components that they've been able to combine to be ready for that student teaching experience, which, as we all know, is so critical to launching successfully into one's teaching career.
Okay, and I might have another academic question or two here. We have Tamara has some questions about double majoring. Actually, I guess you have a couple questions, Tamara. So you can go ahead, and you should be live.
Good evening. My son, Brian, is a senior in high school, and he is interested in Knox. And I have two questions. Are students supported in double majoring if they so choose?
Mike,
The short answer to that, yes, absolutely. The short answer to that is absolutely yes. And honestly, it's almost required. That is to say, every student is required to have at least one academic major, but also to have a second field of study. Now, it can be a minor field, that is to say, somewhat not as quite as robust as a major. But absolutely, double majors are encouraged, and especially you will find on the Knox campus that the identity of students is often defined by those two different majors. That is to say, they're this and that and a whole bunch of other exciting things that they're doing. And this is very much part of the student conversation and the academic advising conversation of how to fit things together to succeed in all the ways that students want to succeed. And especially majors that have a kind of a nice complementary relationship to them. There are the special ways in which students can maybe double count a course or have a kind of a great senior capstone project that serves as a synthesis of two different majors. So it's very much encouraged because we really want students to believe or to embrace that kind of what we call liberal education's emphasis on seeing connections between fields, not being tied to just one discipline, but seeing kind of the world of knowledge as broadly interconnected. And did you have a second question?
Very good. I think we might have lost Tamara. Her second question had to do with diversity and equity and inclusion, I believe, and the ways in which we support diversity, equity, inclusion on our campus. Marquita, would you want to start with that? And maybe Sophia would have some things to say as well.
Sure. You know, I think, like I said, I've only been at Knox for a month or so, but I just know this is a very caring community, right? So apart from the policies and procedures that we have in place to support DEI, we have a culture here that supports students from different backgrounds. So in student development, we have a great intercultural and spiritual life office that supports students. We have inclusive housing practices where students can live in gender-affirming housing if they want. We have a lot of student organizations that support students in different identities. So I think your student will feel and see that across campus, that we support students from different backgrounds.
Yeah, I can.
Sophia, did you want to?
Sorry. I can chime in real quick. So certainly everything Marquita mentioned is very prevalent and obvious on Knox's campus. Knox's administration, coming from a student perspective, never ever makes students feel as though they should feel that they shouldn't, you know, be outspoken, whether it be about world issues, national issues, or even issues happening on campus. Knox students are very vocal about things that they're not satisfied with. And I think one really awesome thing, and that I felt from the moment that I stepped foot on campus, is that the administration supports that and wants us to feel as though our voices are being heard, and that also action can follow that, which I think is just very empowering in general.
Tamara, I'm sorry that we lost you there for a minute. Did that answer your question?
Yes. So I wanted, and I think that was addressed, actually. So it was diversity, equity, inclusion, and then how do you add action into that? So suppose something does come up and someone, you know, has concerns about, you know, how they were treated or how something was approached, how is that acted upon? But that was addressed as well.
Okay.
Someone did.
All right. Well, thank
that.
You very much. Thank you very much, Tamara. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
At this point, I want to just go to a question that was submitted in advance. And this question comes from Krista and Robert in Wichita, Kansas, who ask, starting college can be a very exciting time, but sometimes the adjustment can be stressful. How would a student who needs mental health support seek help, and what resources are available? Marquita, do you want to start with that?
Sure. So that's a really good question, because, you know, mental health is so important to all of us, you know, just health and well-being in general. And we recognize that from day one when a student steps on campus. So we have robust conversations about mental health and support and wellness during orientation. Students can find that support with their RA. We also have a very supportive and available counseling center staff should your student need that support. And they work with our dean of students to figure out a continuity of care plan and whatever a student might need in regards to that. And not just being reactive to mental health issues that might come up, we really do try to be proactive and provide students with the skills and tips that they need to be able to push through, because college is difficult. And we know that students are coming to us with lots of questions about their mental health, and we definitely as an institution are committed to providing them with the skills to be able to proactively deal with their mental health and take care of themselves.
Anyone else want to chime in on that question? Okay. Well, I've the next question is please.
I was just going to add that we're all intensely aware of what the last few years have been like, and that students, faculty, families have felt a lot of stresses. And we take that into account in terms of how we address basically even the start of the academic year, ensuring that everyone's mental health is a question of consideration, and that, you know, that faculty get extra training for themselves and to support their students, and that there's a kind of a broader awareness of these issues today that I think is really going to be important for higher education going forward. And again, I think it's something that we're all aware of and we're all working on intensely to make it seamlessly a part of, that these supports are seamlessly a part of the entire educational experience.
Yeah, and Paul, if I may add in
Please. One
other thing. This is Andy McGadney as the president. You know, we care for our community is at the forefront. Safety for our community is at the forefront. And I just wanted to add one other thing. I think what Mike, as provost, said is spot on. But the other thing that might be helpful for you all to know is our Board of Trustees, we partner together on lots of things about what's happening on this campus. And the topic of student mental health and wellness is at the forefront of what we discuss. I'm on a regular call with our chair of our board and our vice chair of the board, and we were just talking today about other ways that we can better take care of our community. Obviously, there's a financial aspect to this, but it's also about how do you ensure that you provide an environment for our students not just to survive a four-year experience, but to thrive here. And ensuring health and wellness is a big part of that. So from top to bottom, we are very committed to support of our community.
Thank you, Andy. I'm going to go next to Lauren from Centerville, Massachusetts, who has a question about various types of support that are available for our students. Lauren, you're on live.
Hi, thank you. It's great to join you, and thank you all for taking time to talk to us parents. I'm in Centerville, Massachusetts, and I have a son who's very interested in finding a small liberal arts college. He is interested in studying English and writing. He's passionate about becoming a writer, and as his mom, I'm thrilled, but I'm also a little bit concerned, as it's not really a very easy field to get into or to be financially successful in. And I think that it's important for whatever college he does go to have some very strong career support for the student. So I wanted to ask about Knox and career support, developmental opportunities and guidance, and how you all approach that with the students at Knox. Thank you.
Kelsey, would you want to lead us off on that one?
Yeah, sure. So I can speak from our office, the Career Center. We do work with our alumni relations office as well, pretty closely. And we do provide opportunities for students to connect with alumni in different fields. From our standpoint, it really helps students to kind of dip their toes into different situations where they can try out this career, right? Whether it be talking with alumni or attending an event that we have, talking to alumni, or even just employers in general. That way they can get an idea of what that job might entail, what kind of work they might do on campus or internships that they might explore that others have done or that we can help them find in order to kind of lead them on that pathway to see if that's what they want to do or part of what they want to do. Every situation is a little bit different. The more they come to our office, the better off we know those students and can better help them. So it's really situational, but we have a lot of resources that we can provide them. Hopefully that answers your question. But if not, I can give more details.
Anyone else want to chime in?
Yeah, hi, this is Mike Schneider, the provost. And I just have to, you know, just reference, you know, something that Kelsey said that I think is really important, and that is the individual nature of understanding where a student can be successful. As we discussed earlier, you know, students are a creative writing major, and they're also something else. And they have a second major or a minor field. I'm seeing a lot of people doing unconventional sort of combinations, or at least unconventional compared to what it was like maybe 30 years ago when I was a student. They say students are doing creative writing and business. Students are doing creative writing and physics. That is to say, they are not just sort of creative writers in the abstract. They're people who have their own experiences, their own understanding of what creative writing is. And that then provides Kelsey and the staff in the Bastion Center for Career Placement to help students see that there are a variety of opportunities to continue to pursue that passion for writing. Because at the end of the day, to be a great writer, you have to have something to say. You have to have something to write about. And I think that's what a not only a Knox education, but a liberal arts education generally helps creative writers do. But great question.
Thank you. Again, I just want to remind everyone on the call that if you'd like to ask a question at any time, you simply dial *3 on the keypad of your phone to let us know you have a question. At this point, I'd like to go ahead and ask all of you our first poll question. We have a couple of poll questions tonight, and we'd love to have you participate in the poll question with the keypad on your phone. So the first poll question is about visiting Knox. If you or your student has already visited Knox in person, press 1. If you're planning to visit campus in person, press 2. If you haven't visited campus in person and you don't plan to visit in person before making a decision, press 3. Again, if you or your student have already visited, press 1. If you're planning to visit in person this winter and spring, press 2. If you've not visited campus and don't plan to visit campus before making a decision, press 3. And we'll get back to that poll question in just a minute. One of the questions on the line right now is Ted from Durham, North Carolina, and he's wondering what distinguishes Knox from other liberal arts colleges. Ted, you want to go ahead and ask your question?
Well, yeah, you've already stolen my thunder there. So my wife and I are believers in liberal arts educations, and our son is very enthusiastic about going to a small liberal arts college. So I'd like to hear from you all, whoever wishes to chime in, what you think distinguishes Knox from other good liberal arts schools.
I can start off with this question. This is Sophia. I'm the student. I also only applied to liberal arts schools essentially when I was going through the college experience or the college application process. And I think some of the main reasons why I chose Knox come down to I felt like I was going to Knox not just to get I'm going to sit in a classroom and graduate after 4 years of, you know, listening to professors, and then I get my diploma. I really felt like Knox had from the moment I was, like, stepping in as a prospective student even, that they really prioritized me getting an experience and multiple experiences out of my college education, whether that be through, you know, a multitude of research opportunities and maybe study abroad and an internship. And, you know, I've managed to do so many different experiences as a student that it's true. Like, it wasn't just a selling point that they tried to get me to go there for. Like, it's actually true. Knox really, really cares in making sure that students get those experiential, like, human-powered experiences, right? And I felt like other schools didn't care as much about those. Another thing that I think Knox does differently is, in general, Knox is a more diverse campus, and in and of itself, that doesn't say much, but Knox is also a very inclusive institution, and I felt that from the moment I stepped onto campus. I really truly felt as though I could be whoever I was and whoever I wanted to be from the moment I visited, even as a high school senior. And I think that Knox does a really good job of creating an inclusive and diverse community and space wherever you are as a student. And I think that that is a culture you can't just automatically create. You have to work for it. And I think that Knox does a really good job of maintaining that for all students. And I know it's hard to kind of explain that in more detail, but it is truly an experience. And I know for me that has been really pivotal in my educational, social, and professional building of skills over the last 4 years.
That was a wonderful answer. Thank you. Very, very well said. I'm curious if anyone else wants to weigh in.
I can weigh in as a parent of a junior. We looked at only liberal arts schools. I'm a liberal arts grad. And all I can say is from the minute we hit campus, my son did not stop smiling. It was the first school where the entire visit was directed towards him. Students walked up to him. Administrators walked up to him. I was in the by side. I was just watching it unfold. And it's a small campus. No one falls through the cracks. It's a caring campus. I believe he's learned as much outside of the classroom as inside of the classroom. This is somebody who struggles to ask for help, and now he knows how to do that. He has really taken off, and I feel like Knox has helped him into the adulting experience, and I'm just so thrilled with his experience there. I hope that helps.
Yes, it helps a lot. Does anyone from the university, from the college itself, actually want to weigh in as well? Although it's hard to believe you can beat those two answers, but it'd be great to see you try.
Well, this is Andy McGadney, the president. I'm sitting here smiling. I mean, there's no way you can beat those responses. I mean, I've had the pleasure of partnering with Sophia. What you heard was one of the best kind of explanations and a definition of the power of a liberal arts education. You heard it in the way that she talked about her experiences. And actually, I think she answered a question that gave more life to a question about what happens, outside the classroom. You heard her talk about research, internships, community service, global studies, all things that you can find on this campus. When I started off this call, I talked about the small community. The smallness is actually part of the gift of a great liberal arts education. You have committed professionals on staff, our faculty, that are committed to ensuring that our students have an incredible, successful liberal arts education while they're here. And the beauty of that is actually when you start to meet many of our alumni and you hear how they are succeeding in every field of endeavor, whether it's an English major and a business minor or chemistry and creative writing, they're going off and they're succeeding in wherever they go because they learn all this great information in the classroom and they've been able to apply it in a variety of different ways, which just makes their portfolio, when other institutions or companies or entrepreneurial opportunities are in front of them, they look better than everybody else and they have the confidence to succeed. And, I think having Sophia here is a great example of that. The other thing I'll just add, you may have heard that we have a new Vice President of Student Development, Marquita Barker, who was here. Part of the recruiting effort included a series of members of our community. Sophia was one of those members who actually was an incredible partner with us, asking tough questions of all of our candidates, and we were successful in landing a great new VP of Student Development. But I appreciate the question. I think you got some great answers from two incredible parts of our community, a great student and an awesome parent.
Thank you. I'm sure there are lots of other questions that want to be asked. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ted. In case you're wondering, I did want to come back to the poll question, that first poll question. If you're curious, right now 50% of the people who answered the poll on this call have already visited campus, so about half of you have visited campus for yourselves, but 45% are planning to visit campus in person over the course of the next few months, and about 5% of you are hoping to make the decision without that visit. So that's the first polling question. We'll have one more polling question here in a few minutes. In the meantime, if you do have a question, press *3 and you can ask your question. The next person I'd like to go to is Jennifer, who's in Portola Valley, California. Jennifer?
Hi. Yeah, I loved that last question and the answers, by the way. I wanted to hear a little bit more about the classroom experience itself. And what I see as a really major advantage is the small average class size, which your website says is 14 students. So could you say a bit about how faculty take advantage of that? Because I'm actually a teacher at the college level myself, and I know even if you have a small class, it takes some skill to really utilize the opportunities for active learning. So how do faculty at Knox do that, and how does the college support faculty development to be able to really engage students?
Mike, that's clearly a question for you.
Absolutely, and thank you, Jennifer, for that question. You know, in my role as provost and dean of the college, I've also been an instructor. I've also been the associate dean for faculty development. So I've sort of approached this question from the many directions that you have as well. And it is true, I just had a conversation with a prospective faculty member just this morning that the faculty member commented that there were no large classrooms on campus and that told them something. And it's not just that we built it that way. It's not just the physical presence. It's how we, as you say, organize the classes. They should be small, but then what do you do there? And how do faculty get better at this? There's never a moment of more joy for me when a conversation among breaks out and starts talking about teaching. And that's what I say to prospective faculty, which is, you will be successful and happy here as a faculty member if you enjoy teaching. And frankly, we're not really hiring people who aren't going to be passionate about teaching. And that passion requires many things, as I'm sure you're aware. It requires an earnest desire to know about the students, to connect with them, to figure out how this generation of students learn. It requires a passion to recognize that there's a longer arc of the educational experience. What am I doing now that's a piece of a larger puzzle? And one of the things that I'm doing at the first moment in the classroom is signaling that you can be successful, to bolster your confidence, to show that this is a classroom of care, that these are safe spaces for students to engage in difficult conversations and dialogues. And these are all topics, everything I've just mentioned in terms of how to create an inclusive environment in the classroom, how to engage students from the first day of class, how to design assignments that allow students to build and scaffold their own development within a class and to continue to support them up through the ranks. These are all things that are part of our faculty development program. We have workshops throughout the year. It starts with a new faculty orientation that starts about teaching. So I think one of the things that's kept those of us who teach at Knox here for so many decades is precisely because not only are we passionate about teaching when we get here, but we feel that the conversation continues to be about a student-centered approach to the classroom. And I will just say, looking back over these last 2 years of the pandemic, one might have thought this is in some ways the most miserable time to be teaching on Zoom, online. Everyone feels sort of fragmented and divorced from each other in various ways. It has been a period of remarkable innovation. I cannot say enough about what my colleagues produce on a daily basis to try to create new forms of engagement. And just one thing that I'm rather proud of, so I'm going to take a little bit of a victory lap, is we're launching a new initiative this summer of experiential learning programs, all generated out of faculty ideas that emerged during the pandemic. And these are all going to be in person now. They're not going to be online experiences, but they're programs that were designed with our students in mind. And it's easy for me to go out and seek grant funding to support this work, and we've been able to get very good grants to support this work because our faculty are so passionate about coming up with new ideas. So, Jennifer, I love the question. If I've gone on a bit, it's because I'm excited about how important this question is. But it's something that we work on every day, and I'm glad to have received the question.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, for that question. I'm going to change it up a little bit here with kind of a nuts and bolts question, a logistical question from Donna, who's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Donna, you want to ask your question?
Hi, thank you. Yes, I have a very practical question. We live in Louisiana, and looking at, you know, getting to and from school, it looks like involves many modes of transportation. And so I'm just, you know, wondering about the logistical aspect of getting my daughter, who's been accepted to Knox, to and from school from New Orleans area in Louisiana. It looks like, you know, planes, trains, automobiles, so and buses potentially. So I'm wondering if the school has a shuttle or if there's any kind of service that helps kids out with logistics like that.
Well, I'm going to ask Sophia to answer that question first. Sophia, you make it all the way up here from Mississippi.
Yes.
perfect. I got excited when I heard from a fellow Southerner. Hello, Donna. Yes, I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, and so I'm only 3 hours north of you. My first two and a half years of college, I did not have a car. So I flew from Jackson to some sort of connecting area, then to either Peoria, Illinois, or the Quad Cities in Illinois or Illinois, Iowa area. And those are where the two airports closest to Knox are. And then Knox offers shuttle programs from either of those locations to Knox's campus for specific dates, and they always release those dates, and they're before and at the beginning of the term and at the end of the term, so for move-in and for move-out. They always send out emails with those dates ahead of time so that you can book a flight that's going to line up with those shuttles, and they have multiple throughout the day, so you can kind of coordinate that, which is really nice. I've also had, you know, friends pick me up from the airport before. That's totally a possibility. I've also flown into Chicago and then taken the train from Chicago down to Galesburg. And lucky for us, the Amtrak station is literally like a 5-minute walk from campus. It's right downtown in downtown Galesburg. So that's super accessible and super nice. And, you know, now I recently got a car last year, so I make a nice 10-hour road trip, which I realize is not always a possibility for students, but certainly that is a fun trip if you ever get the chance to do that.
All right. Thank you, Sophia. I'm going to go next to Paul Miller from San Francisco, California. Paul, you want to go live?
Yeah, hi, thanks. And, you know, I when I popped back in after asking my question, there was some discussions going on about, you know, not just in the classroom, but what's going on outside the classroom. And that's really where I wanted to go, is to talk about some of the social aspects of the Knox campus and the things that are done to encourage that interaction, you know, because I really believe socialization and social growth is as important as, you know, academic growth in some ways. So what kind of things are done at Knox to encourage, you know, I've heard the different majors, you know, from computer science to English to psychology to chemistry, you know, what kind of things are done to encourage to make sure that there's a mix of, you know, the students, getting those kind of students together as well?
Maybe Marquita and Sophia want to answer that question as well.
Sure. Paul, you are speaking my language when you talk about social growth for students, because we know that's really important, right? Outside of the classroom activities are really important, just like inside of the classroom activities. So at Knox, we have over 100 student organizations, sports, and recreational activities. Students don't typically say there's nothing to do here. There's always something happening here. We have special events by the Union Board, Student Senate, and a bunch of other organizations to make sure that students are involved and getting to know each other. And that sense of belonging, we hope, starts during orientation when students first come here. We are a residential campus, so a lot of our students will stay on campus for the weekends. So we are committed to also making sure that we have intentional programming for them on the weekends and in the evenings. And I'll turn it over to the student to kind of elaborate on some things that she's found helpful.
Yeah, totally. So student organizational life is a huge part of Knox's culture, I'd say, and that getting involved in those is really easy to do, and even leading them is usually a pretty, like, streamlined process, because the way they work is it's like if you have an interest in it, people want you to be there, and they're excited about it. Like, you don't need to be a chemistry major or minor to be a part of chemistry club. I was in the choir for 2 years, and I am not a music major or a minor, you know. You know, a lot of these organizations pull students from a lot of different disciplines, which is really awesome, and create spaces for a lot of different exchanges of ideas. So that's really beautiful. And like Martina mentioned, there's always something to do on the weekends and throughout the weeks even. Like there are usually, you know, there's a choir concert or some sort of jazz performance, or there's a outside lecturer coming in, or union board is putting on a Build-A-Bear workshop, or, you know, those are just examples of a lot of the things that go on. But Knox students tend to do a lot of things together, which I think in turn adds to that wonderful, like, culture that I mentioned earlier, and it's really beautiful to see it all kind of unfold.
This is Allison, the parent, and I can just say that everything she said resonates with me. My student was never somebody who was active in those things in high school, and he has tried on so many activities. He's been in leadership. He's participated in things I never would have predicted, and he's never without something to do. I think the unique thing about the Knox experience is that he's still very close to the people from his freshman quad, and even though they're now living in different areas and they're pursuing different majors, they all drag each other to events. They still stay connected. So it's a wonderful, caring, very busy, active social life.
Thank you, Paul, for the question. Before we go on to the next question, I do want to ask the second poll of the evening. So get your fingers ready and your keypad out. The question is, if your child narrows as your child narrows down their college decision, where does Knox fall in their list? If Knox is your or your child's top choice, press number one. I guess I should say, if it's your child's top choice, press one. If Knox is among their top two choices, press two. If it's among the top three choices, press three. And if Knox is somewhere among the top four or more, press four. So if Knox is the top choice, one. The top two, two. Top three, three. And four or more, press four on your keypad. And we'll give you the results here in just a minute. At this point, I'd like to go to Kent from Naperville, Illinois. Kent?
Oh, yes. Good evening, everyone. I just had a question in terms of how does the college help a student choose a major? I know my daughter's, she hasn't quite decided what she wants to major in, so I just like to know what type of supports are in place to assist or guide a student in terms of, you know, choosing a major.
Okay. Mike, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll certainly start. I'm happy to hear what our students would have to say about this as well. So, Kent, this is a great question, and I do have to say that when a student arrives at Knox and says, you know, I don't really know what I want to major in, our first reaction is great. That is awesome, because that student is already kind of on the sort of liberal arts education path. That is to say, one way that we support students is that we connect them with advisors from the very beginning. Before anyone arrives on campus, they know who their academic advisor will be. And we start a conversation, and it's a conversation about interests, passions, curiosities. It's not about what are you going to major in. It's not about finishing requirements. In fact, one of the ways we support students who don't know what they want to major in quite yet is to not require them to decide right away. Students can take 2 years to decide what their first major is going to be, and that's completely okay. Students can more than easily and successfully complete their major requirements over this time. So that period of exploration is a really important one. We have various techniques. We ask students to take courses in different areas of the college, what we call elements, to ensure that they're seeing different parts of the college. And, you know, essentially not deciding too soon. I'm a Japanese historian today. I started out as a chemistry major and kind of dove in too quickly. I found out my passion was somewhere else. And lots of Knox students will tell you the same story. They found their passion after a couple of years here, not the very first day. And that's where I think we carry and support students throughout that decision-making process.
Well, thank you.
Anyone else want to chime in?
No, I just had a quick second question, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Kent. Yes, please.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted, my wife and I, we were interested in learning about the safety of the campus, what measures are put in place to ensure that it's a safe campus.
I can sort of talk to this as a student. So we have campus safety. So they're sort of like our version. They are our like campus police. And they are available 24/7, even on breaks, on weekends, literally all of the time over the summer. Like, they are always available. And they are a group of, you know, trained individuals who they have cars and they can get to your location. They are really good at communicating their number to students. So like when you first step foot on campus, they are shoving that phone number down your throat saying, please put this in your phone. It's on tags, like with Knox College written on them, like for your keys, it's everywhere. So that number is super accessible. You can call it whenever. They really make a point to note that you can call them if you've been locked out of your room, to if you are feeling unsafe. And that even extends to the greater Galesburg area. So our campus is pretty small. And even if you're on campus or in the Galesburg community, you can call campus safety and they will come check on you, even pick you up and take you to your dorm to make sure that you're safe. Which is honestly, I've never had to use that, which is really awesome. But just knowing that it exists is really reassuring. There are also emergency posts that you can like push a button on throughout campus. They're located and they're very obviously kind of noted so that those are accessible to students. And I think in general, I mean, I've kind of talked about this, but this is not an official sort of safety precaution, but students are really good and staff and everyone in our on our campus is really good about looking out for one another and making sure that we're doing good. Another thing about safety I will quickly note is that they will do rounds. So it's not just that they're only available by call, but they'll be driving around campus. They make their presence known so that you know that you can always, you know, talk to them. And they are specifically campus safety and not campus police, because they're here to keep us safe and not to police us. So, and that's really nice. I love campus safety.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question.
Paul, if I could just join in on that one too.
Please.
You know, as a new president, you know, one of the things that I'm always thinking about is the safety of our community. And just today, Marquita and I were spending time with the chief of police here in Galesburg, as well as the fire chief. One, you know, to really have a chance to just engage with them. They've been incredible partners with the college over many, many years. And both of them have been in their roles as chief for a couple decades, and not necessarily as the chief, but obviously working within the Galesburg Fire and Police Department over many years. But we were meeting them just to kind of make sure we had a strong relationship, that it continues. But one of the things we're asking of them too is like, tell us about what they see of our Knox students and our community and how we can better partner together. And, you know, basically they were telling us that they're not on our campus often, and that they basically looked for our public safety to kind of lead them where they need, and they're providing service to us as needed. But it wasn't the kind of thing where, you know, students or staff or faculty are calling the police for emergencies. It's much more of a backup protection, which I thought was really helpful being a new leader here. And as I've worked at other institutions where, you know, you're in different cities, safety is a major issue of what's being discussed. But that's not what we have here. I think Sophia just gave you a really great kind of perspective from where she is and as a student. But that's the sense that I'm getting from the community overall. One, which is a safe community, a caring community, once again, one of these communities where people know one another and they care deeply about each other's safety.
Thank you, Andy. We've got time for one more question. Before I go to that final question, I do want to report on our poll, which was, as your child narrows down their college search, where does Knox fall on their list? 30% of you said that your child has Knox number one on their list. 27% said it's in the top two, 27% in the top three, and 16% said there's four or more schools still on the list that you're considering. So thank you for those responses. The final question for today comes from Pamela, who's calling all the way from Whitefish, Montana. Pamela, go ahead with your question.
Hi, I was just curious about my son has had some health challenges in his journey towards Knox and wanted to know about the health services on campus.
Marquis, would you want to talk a little bit about health services? And then I don't know if either Allison or Sophia might want to chime in as well.
Sure. We have a great health services team here on campus. There are limitations to what they can do, but if a student is feeling ill or feeling like they just want to talk to someone for medical advice, they should start with our health services. And then if they need to, they can refer them to hospitals in town. So, you know, we take student health and wellness, like I said, very seriously. And so we want to make sure that if students have a question, that they can immediately get a response from someone on the Knox team. So, yes, we do have health services on campus for that reason.
Yeah, I'll just give sort of my experience with them. I love health services. It probably seems like I love everything at Knox, which is true. But I have had wonderful experiences with them. I have gone in for major things, for minor things. I've gone to them even when it wasn't even that big of a deal and I thought it was, and I was just kind of anxious about something, and I just was like, you know what, I'm just going to go. And I think that a really nice thing about them is that I never feel bad for going, even if it wasn't that big of a deal, or, you know, for just being extra cautious about something. I joke every time I see them, I said, well, this was my, you know, bi-termly check-in with y'all, because I go so often, even if I'm, you know, pretty much doing well. And they create a really safe, you know, safe resources and just like being nice people that makes it a lot easier to feel comfortable going often.
All right. Well, Pamela, thank you very much for your question and for calling from Montana. At this point, I really appreciate all of the questions that we've gotten tonight. I know that there's still quite a few of you that are in the queue hoping to ask questions tonight. But I appreciate your sharing your thoughts and questions with us. We'll be sending an email with a link to the recording of today's phonecast. You can listen again or share it with others in your family. I do want to remind you that this phonecast is just one in a series of live on-campus and virtual events with faculty, staff, and current students throughout the winter and spring. You know, the campus is open for individual visits each week, Monday through Saturday. We also have two upcoming Admitted Student Day events on the Knox campus on February 21st and April 15th. And we're continuing to offer a variety of virtual events via Zoom. And if you like this phonecast, we'll be offering one for admitted students, for your children, to talk directly with current students in mid-March. And then there's another phonecast for parents, for all of you, to connect with the parents of current students in mid-April. But you can learn more about all of these admitted student experiences on our website at knox.edu/admittedstudents. As you and your student continue with the college search, you might have additional questions. I'm sure you will. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. Contact your admission counselor in the Office of Admission. You can find their contact information on the Meet the Staff page on our website. In fact, you can even schedule an appointment with them on that Meet the Staff page. If you'd like to talk more about any particular topic, go over a financial aid package, or talk about any of the things that you didn't have a chance to talk about tonight. So just on the Meet the Staff page on the website, we're all here to help. For now, I want to thank you once again for joining us. Best wishes and good night from Knox College and from Galesburg, Illinois.